Hey everyone, welcome to Scattered Groups. This is season one, episode or edition session two, and we're in the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 2 is our passage. I hope that you had a great week and that the snow hasn't slowed you down too much or the cold. And thank you for praying for one another, and thank you for participating in these scattered groups. We had good sessions last week in different locations, and so we're very, very blessed. So whenever you are attending these, we want to see you be faithful. I mean, we're only talking about 2 months, so basically 8 weeks on, 1 month off, 4 weeks off, and we'll do this again and start the next part as we go through the different passages. And so be committed. Do all that you can to be able to be there and arrange your schedule to be a part of your group, because we need that mutual encouragement. And if you're not there, people will miss your input. They'll miss your discussion and the prayer time with you. And you'll miss it having that with those that are in your group as well. So when we get to the DNA, the discussion and application, you can share some stories, you can give some examples, and be a contributor. Don't talk so much that you actually take away from the conversation, but feel free to share and to contribute. And then at the very end, the host or one of the leaders there in the group will say, does anyone want to pray? They're not going to call on you to pray. They're going to say, okay, who would like to kind of summarize these prayer requests in prayer before the Lord? And one or two of you could volunteer to pray. That's kind of how the plan goes for our scattered groups. All right, let's pray now, and we'll continue in 1 John. Father, thank you for this time to gather, to fellowship, to be encouraged, to encourage one another. We thank you for our church. We've had great church gatherings each Sunday, and now we're glad to have these scattered sessions in our small groups. And bless each one as we open the scriptures, as we open our hearts, and share with one another and pray. And we ask that your will be done in our lives, our church. And thank you for this opportunity. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 John chapter 2. Are there any Perry Mason fans out there? Anybody like Perry Mason? Sometimes I like to watch the old reruns of Perry Mason. And who is that? Some of the other ones would say, well, who in the world is Perry Mason? I think there's actually a reboot that's happening. I don't know anything about the reboots, but Perry Mason was an attorney, a lawyer who would go to the courtroom. He also had a private investigator that would help him, and they would determine who really committed the crime, what really took place. And it was it's a good old mystery type show. If you're interested in that, it would be like a courtroom drama. Well, the last time, as we had our scattered groups, we learned in 1 John chapter 1 that God is light. In contrast to the moral and unethical practices and expectations of the world, of the darkness around us, God stands in stark contrast as being light. And there's false idols and fake gods and even our own human nature that indicate all the darkness, but God stands against that, and he shines brightly in the darkness that we see. And we also learned that God is light from the very beginning. John says, he makes it clear even in the Gospel of John, that God is light. And that causes us as Christians to walk in the light. Now our friend John turns to the theme of advocate. We have a lawyer, an advocating attorney that is advocating and standing on our behalf, our advocate. Originally, the word parakletos had a passive tense, one who is called alongside to someone's aid, and so was rendered advocatus. And in the New Testament, it is used in an active sense. Our advocate in current English is like he's continuing to advocate. And it means one who appears on another's behalf, the mediator, the intercessor, or the helper. Here we find that Jesus is referred to as our advocate, our parakletos, who intercedes with God the Father on behalf of sinners. So I'll read a few verses, but our primary verses are verses 1 and 2. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate. There's our word. It's the word parakletos. It's the comforter, the Holy Spirit, the one who comes alongside. It's the same word, the advocate. with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And He, that's our advocate Jesus, is the propitiation or payment for our sins, not for ours only, but also the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know Him, that's the advocate, if we keep His, that's the advocate Jesus, His commandments. He that saith, or a person that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, the advocate's, Jesus' commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Sounds a lot like what John ends with in chapter 1, that we would confess that, yes, we are sinners, and if anyone says he has no sin, he's a liar, and the truth, the word, is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, verse 5, is in him. In him verily is the love of God perfected, and hereby we know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth, that means the word meno means to stay or to remain. If you are a Christian, you are to remain in the faith. You are to remain in Christ. He that abideth in him or remaineth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he also walked. So our key text, though, is verses 1 and 2. We have an advocate, a paraclete. And I love how the Lord describes himself here as he's the one who comes alongside and is standing up for you, who is advocating for you and on your behalf. Chapter 1 establishes the basic tenet of our human sin and our sinfulness. If we say we have no sin, we're lying, and the truth, God's truth, is not in us. But we need someone advocating on our behalf. Friends, you need someone advocating on your behalf. I'm talking about towards God and within even yourself, within this world, we have an advocate. And friends, God is for you. That's the primary theme of this message. Because of our advocate, we know God is for you. He's standing for you, and he's seeking you, and he's advocating on your behalf despite your sin and in spite of our sinfulness. There's three ways that Jesus demonstrates his advocacy for us. The first one is this: we have a message from God. And John makes it clear, my little children, that's a term of affection, like a father to his kids, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate, and he's advocating to the Father, or with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. The words of chapter 1 establish our sinfulness and lets us know about forgiveness and cleansing, that we are to confess our sins to God. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. Now there's two sorts of advocates. There's one who pleads before judges, and the other who are consulting advocates who instruct and advise their clients. There's just two different veins of an advocate. Jesus is the advocate in the first of these classes. He is our pleading advocate before the judge. But the Holy Ghost, he's our chamber advocate. He's the one who is in us, advocating within us and advising us and instructing us and comforting us. So we have an advocate, Jesus, with the Father, and at the same time, the Parakletos who comes alongside, the Holy Spirit is in you, advocating within your soul the truth of God and how to perceive and see. And what a wonderful thing that we have the advocate who has demonstrated and revealed himself in these two ways, to God and towards us. And so when he's advocating, we can see ourselves accurately. Yes, I am a sinner. Yes, you are a sinner. We fall short of God's glory because of our sin. See yourself authentically. I can't save myself. That's authentic. That's genuine. That's real. I can't earn my way or win my way into heaven with good works, with not being a bad person, or by being religious. That's not where it counts with God. We have to have the advocate, and when we look at our lives, see it authentically, see yourself appropriately. As John writes, he says, my little children, you have an advocate with the Father. But notice right before that, he says, I write unto you that you sin not. We don't have to continue in our sin. We could read Romans 6. There's other passages and illustrations that could be given of this, but see yourself appropriately. I don't have to continue in sin. one person, I think it was F.B. Meyer, a preacher, said, I believe when you see a brother or sister sin, there's two things we do not know. First, we do not know how hard he or she tried not to sin. And second, we do not know the power of the forces that assailed against him or her. We also do not know what we would have done in the same circumstances. And so just step back from looking at other people's sins and consider your own life for just a moment. We have an advocate who is with us. Number two, we have the presence of God. Notice in verse 2, he, that's Jesus, our advocate, is the propitiation or payment for our sins, not ours only, but the sins of the whole world. This advocate is for and towards the Father, but he's there on our behalf. Now, the word parakletos, to come to one's aid, to advocate, to help, it's the same word that's used in John 14, 16. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. What an amazing thing. The advocate is not only advocating with the Father, but he's with you as well in the form or person of the Holy Spirit. God comes alongside of you. He comes alongside of me and helps you, helps us in spite of our sin. Jesus is advocating. He's speaking on your behalf. Now, Job indicates that in the throne of heaven that Satan has access and he can accuse the brethren. The scriptures tells us in the New Testament that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. And this is within a courtroom setting even. In both examples, Old Testament and New Testament. Well, when he's advancing his case against you, Jesus is your advocate standing up for you in that case. He's advocating to the Father for us. Jesus advocates for our righteousness. He uses two things primarily. There's the Word of God and then the Spirit of God that's in you. And he's advocating for us. He pleads in our defense against sin. The sin need not control you. The negative thinking does not need to control you. The false impressions do not need to control you. The outright lies that we tend to believe about ourselves or others, or about God, or about our circumstance, that does not need to control us because we have the presence of God. And with his word and with his spirit, he can see you through as he's advocating on your behalf. Next, then, we have the payment from God. Notice how Jesus, as the advocate, is the propitiation for our sins. So God the Father is the judge. Jesus is the advocate, but he's also the sacrifice. He's also the one who says, I'll pay the price for their sin. Propitiation is a word which has to do with an appeasing or propitiating. It was used in the Old Testament of a priest offering an expiatory sacrifice. Its usage and means of appeasing and a propitiation and forgiveness. So I'm appeasing, I am making a payment, I am forgiving a debt or a penalty, a fee that was owed. That's what this word propitiation means. The sacrificial payment of Jesus Christ when he died on the cross was your propitiation, your payment, my payment as well. This payment was enough for the sins of the whole world. The entire world, he paid the price for the sins of the whole world. Now, I'm not suggesting universalism, like, well, everybody's saved now because he paid the price for all. He paid the price for all, but he allows us to willingly accept it. It's kind of like sometimes you'll see a criminal or the accused who is going before the judge, and who's going to be your advocate? Who's your advocate? I'm going to represent myself. Okay, you can try to represent yourself if you want to. It's not going to work very well. We need the advocate of Jesus Christ, who not only advocates for us, but he says, I'll pay the price for their sin. Because the fact is, we're all guilty. We're guilty. This payment is universal, but it's accepted only on an individual basis. Every man and woman in Israel who practiced Old Testament Judaism would need to bring a sacrifice suited to their prosperity and life and offer a sacrifice for the covering of their sins. Hebrews tells us about this in chapter 10, verses 1 through 7. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. It couldn't make them perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? If they did, why did he keep offering his offerings? Because that the worshipers, once purged, should have no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body, the body of Christ, hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Jesus pays the legal defense fees for those he's advocating for you and me as the Christian. He pays the fine, the penalty for your sin. He makes a plea deal in his own name, on your behalf. Yes, they are guilty, but in my name, they will be cleansed and released from the debt and the penalty that they owe. For example, Joe is guilty. Everyone knows it in the courtroom. He is guilty. The evidence is stacked high against Joe. But Jesus says, I will not only advocate for you, I will pay the penalty that Joe owes. I will pay all the fees. Sally is guilty. All this evidence is mounting up. Is she guilty? What's your plea? They'll say, what's your plea? Guilty. And Jesus says, I will pay for Sally everything. I will cover all that she owes. I write unto you little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. 1 John 2, verse 12. Romans 8, 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? So in your life, there's going to be moments where you have doubt about your self-worth and value, and you're lying to yourself, and you're perceiving life in a wrong way. You have an advocate. He's right there with you, and he's standing up for you. God is for you. And so when you have doubts about value and self-worth, just remember, your advocate came for you. He's there with you, and he's the one who gave himself, dying in your place, paying the price for your sin. That's how much he values you and loves you. When you are guilty, and when you have false guilt, like when you feel like, oh, I'm not living up to other people's expectations, and you're imposing things that aren't really a matter of morality or right or wrong on your life, it's a false guilt type thing. Whenever you have true guilt, and I am guilty, confess that to the Lord. Whenever it's false guilt, just confess to your advocate. I need help with this. I'm not seeing things like I should because I'm believing something that's not true. I'm holding a weight that's not really a weight that I should bear. There's forgiveness. When you feel like, oh, I'm not really forgiven. Am I really forgiven? Am I really forgiven? Let your advocate remind you about that. Am I really a child of God? Am I really a Christian? Does he really love me that much? Let your advocate help you when you have these thoughts. These things need not to control our thoughts. There's a song taken from Numbers chapter 6, and it demonstrates how God is for us. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen, 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 amen. May his favor be upon you and 1,000 generations, and your family and your children and their children and their children. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen, amen, amen. May his favor be upon you to 1,000 generations, and your family and your children and their children and their children. And that's in the Old Testament, how much love God had for his people. And that's how much love and compassion your advocate has on your behalf, because God is for you. One person wrote, I do not expect to be judged at the last day. I have no fear of the great white throne judgment. My case has been settled in the court of mercy. Mercy, in which God is the judge and Jesus Christ is the advocate. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Who shall bring anything to the charge of God's elect? If you desire to take an appeal from this court of mercy to the Supreme Court of Justice, you can do so. But he said, I prefer to come to God, the judge of all, today, when I may be represented by such an advocate as Jesus Christ. So take your case to the mercy courtroom of God each day, realizing the advocate Jesus is with you. Please take some time to answer these discussion questions. Thanks for good participation. God bless.